Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Oh, yeah, you heard the sounds. You hold the surgery sounds. Oh, my goodness. TFA Degeneration. What is happening? What is up? We are back yet again. It's week four. We're talking the DFS week four slate. My goodness, I can't believe we are already going to be 4 weeks into the season after this week, a quarter of the way through, just under a quarter of the way through with the new schedule. I digress. It's Ryan Williams at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter, the DGen Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. I'm with my two usual suspects, my boy Matty D at Matty DFS is where you can find him on Twitter, on X, and the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele, the one and only at Fantasy Wrath 13. Is where you can find them on Twitter and X. Fellas, with just under a quarter of the way through, I mean, these slates have been an absolute just wild mess going into Sunday locks for me. It's been a great year for Vegas. The team totals have been low. The unders have been hitting at an insane rate. Vegas is just raking in. There's injuries all over the landscape. What is happening? Like, what are we doing? Like, the DFS like landscape is changing now. You know, team with quarterbacks not being able to score, we're seeing more running backs in the flex spots. Like, this is not the DFS I grew up with, gentlemen. Like, can you guys please just talk me off the ledge and tell me what the state of DFS is and what are we going to be doing with our lineups this Sunday? Matty, kick it off, man. Like, how have you been feeling? Like, how have you been doing this year? Like, what's happening in the DFS streets that we can talk to the people and try and take advantage, hopefully, going forward?
Yeah, I mean, thank God we don't have to break down kickers on the main slate, right? Because they keep just smashing on every showdown.
We can't even have showdown without double kickers.
I know. It's double kickers every showdown, which, I mean, you just take what it gives you, and that's what it's giving you every week. So you just keep playing them, I guess, and it just prints. But I agree. It's the quarterback play has not been great this year. We haven't seen a ton of points. I mean, part of it is, you know, everybody's been talking about it, how all the defenses are going back to, you know, the two high safeties and forcing everybody to run the ball and take the check downs and limiting the big plays. So, you know, in doing that, it leads to, you know, more clock being chewed, not as many big plays down the field. And quarterbacks really have to, you know, take what the defense is giving them. And, it's leading to, you know, less exciting games. So, I think it's going to be another week of that, but luckily we've got some teams that don't really know how to tackle on this defense or on this slate. So, you know, we'll be able to use some yards after catch guys like DJ Moore, I think, against the Colts. So, or against the Rams, excuse me. So, you know, there's definitely some options. We'll talk about it, but you know, you got to take what it gives you.
Yeah, you do got to take what it gives you, and you're just a week behind on the Colts, Matty. We tried to get DJ Moore going in our Caleb Williams double stacks last week. Had a team that came close, but I mean that's kind of also what makes it fun. I mean, Kev, we've been talking about DFS for a long time. It feels like since the iteration, almost basically with the Godfather. My beard's going gray thinking about it, just like yours. And when we're talking about it, like, this is shaping up to be a season, like, before people catch on of, like, going contrarian. Like, me and you always have talked about, like, going off the field, going off the reservation and getting real contrarian with our lineups, with our builds. And it feels like, you know, with every week, we're still going to get, you know, these popular plays, quote unquote, we're still going to get chalk hitting. And if we can just think a little bit outside the box,
you know, maybe we can take, you know, maybe that's an edge, and maybe we can get, you know, help the people get back some dividends on these lineups to just go a little bit different when everybody's going one way. How have you been feeling with your lineups, and what is your read on the state of DFS as it stands right now?
Good show. It's just, I mean, just like you guys already said, I mean, scoring's down league wide. Passing numbers are down league wide. And so it's just been kind of a weird start. We've had a lot of injuries, a lot of wide receivers that have been nicked up. I mean, we've got some running backs obviously missed too, but it's just, you know, and I don't know. Like I am always curious of like the lack of preseason, you know, is the cause of some of this, where generally speaking, you know, defenses are always ahead of offenses to start the year, but this is like abnormally low comparatively, but it has dropped each of like the last two or three years. Scoring has, I feel like at some point maybe it'll level out a little bit. But yeah, we just haven't had a lot of like huge scores. If it has, it's been completely one-sided, and sometimes it's not, you know, even on the slate. Like obviously like Josh Allen would have won everything had he been on the main slate last week, but he wasn't, you know, that was on the little two gamer. But I don't know. Like it's just been a rough, there's been some chalk that definitely hasn't hit. There's been some that has, but it really, like you've mentioned, like it's pretty much been, you know, we wanting to play as many running backs as you can, load up on running backs. And maybe that's what you gotta do. Maybe you gotta switch. You know, we've been so accustomed to like, hey, just fade the running backs, just play the cheap running backs, and pay up a wide receiver. But really the meta this year has been paying up a running back and getting into guys like Saquon last week that, you know, wasn't nearly high enough owned that he should have been, and stuff like that, versus, you know, paying up and paying down a wide receiver versus paying up a running back. So it's kind of been the way that it's been.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. I mean, running back has been the position. We've hit the time capsule and gone back a couple of years where, you know, paying up for stud running backs in good matchups has been great. And unless we can find value and, you know, stuff that we can really rely on. But even last week, you know, with a guy like Cam Akers, who steps into a role without, you know, Mixon and Damian Pierce being there, you know, he ends up being popular in chalk. But we all know Cam Akers and Mo. So that's it. You know, that scenario, we're going to have to face that scenario yet again. And we'll talk about that when we get into running back position. But yeah, it's been interesting, and it's been fun to build, but it's also been frustrating on Sundays, especially when you don't have that game environment that goes nuclear. And Kev, you kind of alluded to it, which kind of takes us into quarterbacks, like even on the two game Monday slate, right? Like, you know, I was talking with Maddie, and like, I don't know how I can get away from Josh Allen. Like, he just looks so good in this matchup. Like, I think that, you know, he'll still be able to run up the score, and all that stuff came to fruition. And it really didn't even matter because of what Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels were able to do in that other game, which was absolutely bananas. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are just a shell of themselves. They can't go get anything going. Doug Peterson, now the favorite to be the first coach fired, and rightfully so with the way this team is playing. And so with that being said, like, game environment has just been so key and so clutch to really being able to capture all the goodness and shooting your fantasy scores up. And when we look at the slate for Sunday here on the main slate for week four for the DFS Degen Nation family, we only have a handful, like a couple environments that literally seem that great and jump off the page. And one of them is going to feature the Commanders again with Kyler Murray, and Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray both look like amazing plays. I expect them to be extremely popular. Maddie, you're our resident, you know, ownership guy. You'll talk to the people about who's going to be popular, but that game looks incredible. I really want to go back to the CJ Stroud well. I know that, Maddie, you were on him last week, and, you know, it seemed like a great game environment, rightfully so, but they get this anemic Jaguars team at home in a situation where they're going to need, you know, they want to win. Like, they want to be able to put – the AFC South is basically theirs. Like, you know, the Jaguars are nothing, the Titans are nothing, and the Colts, you know, are just ridiculous. So, but I still expect the Texans to want to, you know, go out there and show out, because this is a Super Bowl-caliber team with aspirations of getting there, and they got some people ahead of them. And then, you know, when we look at other, like, avenues, like, yeah, like, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, the Chiefs-Chargers game, you know, with Patrick Mahomes finally being on the main slate, how many times can we say that? But, like, they're facing this Chargers team, like, doesn't get me excited. The Falcons and Saints is an interesting one because, you know, the Saints had been putting up all these points, and then they lay a dud in what was a popular game with Philly and with Philly and the Saints last week, and you know the Falcons have kind of just been mad, but you know maybe we could get some goodness in that. And then the other game that I want to talk about as we open up the quarterback slate is the Bengals and Panthers. And I know there's some injuries that will, you know, kind of shape the way that this game is going. But definitely have interest in this game, especially if we get the skill set players involved and healthy, you know, that could really open things up. Andy Dalton comes in and just lights a fire under this Panthers team that all of a sudden brings these pieces, you know, to the forefront. We'll talk about a running back when we get there, who I have interest in, Joe Burrow. You know, he's having to pass right now, but he's got a running back situation that's kind of coming to the forefront. But if the Panthers can kind of put up some points, we could expect Joe Burrow to be throwing. And he has such a narrow distribution of targets that we know where the ball is going to go. So those are the ones that are jumping off the page to me. I'll do a couple quick hitters as I usually do. But, you know, Maddie, come on in here and talk to us about quarterback and possibly what you'd be doing this week with the state of the slate.
Yeah, it's hard not to like the Arizona-Washington game, especially Kyler Murray. I mean, the Washington defense is historically bad. They're going to give up a ton of production every single week. They've done it already. You know, the Bucs lit them up week one. You know, we just saw Joe Burrow light them up. Neither team punted or turn the ball over on Monday night in that Washington Bengals game. And I definitely fully expect the Washington offense to be able to continue to put up points on the other side. So I think everybody's going to flock to Jaden Daniels after seeing his primetime game. Kyler Murray will still be up there with in terms of ownership, but I definitely think he comes in lower of the two guys. And he's, you know, a guy that we haven't seen score a rushing touchdown in a long while. But we know that upside's there. He's still running the ball, you know, a handful of times a week and has 50 plus rush yards pretty much every week this year. So, Kyler Murray's got the upside, you know, with we talk about the lack of passing throughout the league, that it just lends itself to, you know, more rushing quarterbacks that score more fantasy points than everybody else. So definitely want to key in on the rushing QBs. And I'm with you, Ryan. Like, I like the Bengals as well this week. If that Carolina offense, you know, if Deontay Johnson's able to play, if that Carolina offense is, you know, notably better with Andy Dalton at quarterback. I mean, we saw Canales the last 2 years, last two stops, right? He turned Geno Smith into a wizard and, you know, Baker Mayfield after that. So, you know, the guy is known for, you know, getting the most out of a quarterback position. So if the offense can just put up points on the other side, the defense isn't good enough to stop anybody. And, you know, the Bengals, I mean, I do like Zach Moss this week, but I mean, any week out there, you know, Burrow can throw for 5 touchdowns. So he is the one guy. Him and Stroud are the two guys that I think can really go out there and light the scoreboard up from a passing perspective in today's, you know, today's game with this slate specifically. So I do like Stroud. I do like Burrow, but I will side with the running quarterbacks as a preference over those. And that's Daniels and Kyler with the edge to Kyler for me.
Yeah, I like that. And I do think it's interesting to hear you talk about Jaden Daniels, you know, potentially being more popular than Kyler Murray because of that recent game. And that'll be a close one, I feel like, as we get into Sunday, because, you know, the Kyler Murray options, I feel like, especially from, you know, the main slate standpoint, like, will make you feel comfortable stack them, especially if we get no McBride, who's in concussion protocol, and his status is questionable. So it'll just make it that much easier, you know, to kind of stack the piece. Whereas like Jaden Daniels, like, yeah, you could play you can play him with Terry McLaurin, who, you know, actually came to life and probably was, you know, saying prayers and, you know, saying his, you know, thanking the gods that he's finally got a quarterback who can hit it in the breadbasket for him. But yeah, with that rushing upside, it probably does put Jaden Daniels just a little bit popular there, probably more, you know, from the cash game perspective too. I expect him to be owned. Kev, what's going on with you at quarterback this week, and where are you looking to kind of start your builds off? As we are, you know, talking on Thursday for the Sunday slate.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. The Arizona Commanders game is probably the one that you really want to focus on. But I think if you want to get a little bit different outside of the CJ Stroud game, I do think Jordan Love at 6K, who's going to be back this week. I know a lot of people look at Minnesota's defense and they're like, oh man, this defense is elite and everything else. But They've actually allowed 270 passing yards per game, which is actually more than Commanders have so far through the first four games of the season, or first three games of the season. And so I don't think that that is I do think that something like that, because if you look at the rest of the pass catchers there, like, nobody's expensive, right? Because, sure, you know, they, how poorly this offense is, well, I shouldn't say how poorly, but how, I guess I should say, lack of volume this offense has been. You know, because Malik Willis actually did way better than I was expecting from him. But, I mean, the most expensive pass catcher is only $6,000, and Jaden Reed here in this game. So I do think Jordan Love is kind of an interesting contrarian option to go with here within this game. Like I said, the Vikings pass defense, or at least their secondary, has given up a lot of yards. And so I do think, like, if you want to get different, that could be a game environment that you could target. And like I said, I mean, Jordan Love's only $6,000, and it's a cheaper stack to get to. And I mean, I love Jaden Reed, you know, with Jordan Love likely being back here for this game. I think Christian Watson opens him up as well. It kind of opens up his entire pass catching room here. And so, like, I think that that is an option. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks I want no part of. Like, I want no part of Jalen Hurts this week. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, both going to be out. It's going to be very one-dimensional. Patrick Mahomes, I'm not playing him here in this environment. So Justin Herbert may or may not play. I think he got in a limited practice today, but I don't know. Like, I just don't love that. I just don't really love that game environment, so I'm not playing him. Like, to me, I think it's pretty easily, like, if you want to pay up, you pay for Stroud, Kyler, Burrow, or Daniels. And then if you're going to pay down, like, I just think, you know, someone like Jordan Love, I just think makes a little bit of sense. I don't mind the you know, or on the other side of that game, Sam Darnold as well. I mean, Darnold has been phenomenal coming off a 4-touchdown passing game. They've just done an excellent job with him as well. But he's 5,700. But past that, like, I get it with Andy Dalton, but it feels like we're chasing last week's results.
Yeah, it could be a little chasey there, Kev. I kind of hear you on that, but I mean, when he comes in at 5,300. And you know where the ball is going to go. Like, it just gives you so much ability to be able to, you know, build around and honestly, Kev, you know, get up to those running backs that we'll talk about in a little bit that we feel confident in of getting points. So I could definitely see why people go with Andy Dalton. You know, a couple of the quarterbacks, I mean, just above Andy Dalton that I definitely will have interest in. Caleb Williams gets the return at home. He's going against a Rams team that is absolutely, you know, a shell of themselves with all the injuries that they have on both sides of the football. You know, I think that he definitely warrants some exposure, especially with the way that he played last week in Indy. You know, if they're even with the way that this defense plays, I feel like they'll give him chances, you know, to get the ball back. And then, you know, they have no run game to speak of right now. I thoroughly expect Roschon Johnson to be in the mix for the Bears this week. He was kind of getting looks there towards the end. He, you know, Khalil Herbert got his time to shine with goal line touches, wasn't able to convert on three in a row. DeAndre Swift, we all know what the narrative has been there, and this stop has not changed anything for him, as he, you know, looks like a guy who just isn't going to be able to get it done. So Caleb, you know, in an environment with the city behind him, plus going against his, you know, one of his idols, so to speak, quote unquote, on the other side, and Matthew Stafford, who he mirrors his game around, you know, I definitely have some interest in him. I wish I could trust Indy to kind of keep pace in this game, because I would have some interest in Fields as well too. And we're talking about rushing quarterback with upside, and the way that you attack Indy is on the ground, and Fields can get loose against this team. We've seen it before with him in Chicago, and I definitely like that, especially with the running back situation that they have with Jaylen Warren expected to miss, and Najee Harris, who, you know, was in a sling on Monday and all of a sudden is fine and looks like he's going to be ready to go. But if you can rush on this team, like, give me definitely some Justin Fields. He makes it easy to stack with as well. So I like him. And then one key I'll talk about as I open up to you guys before we move on is just this Tampa Bay in Philly game. And I hear you, Kev, like, when I was looking at it too, like, I definitely don't want to play Hurts as the highest priced quarterback in this matchup. But I do have some interest in Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker doubles should be good here against this Philly defense that we've kind of been talking about attacking on, you know, showdown slates that they've been on and others. And, you know, they kind of showed out last week against the Saints. But are they going to be vulnerable this week against, you know, Chris Godwin, who's been stepping up into an amazing role. Like Mike Evans is always a forgotten about piece who we know can put the slate out of reach anytime with multiple touchdowns. Like, this is a game where I feel like Tampa Bay could definitely get right. I definitely don't trust Rashad White in that running game. Bucky Irving looks good, but I know he's been banged up as well too. So, you know, if we could, you know, talk ourselves into a Baker stack, potentially we're bringing it back with the, you know, the Saquon himself, like I can definitely see myself getting there on one of my three max teams. Is that of interest to you guys at all? Just wanted to, you know, talk about that. Kind of shaking his head. He makes it so easy to stack with. And like, if Philly could just push the pace there, you know, the pieces that you want to target and you don't have to take Hurts, you can just take the other guy. You know, just thinking about a game environment there, I could have some interest in Baker.
I like the pieces more than the quarterbacks in that game. I mean, Hurts is another rusher. Hurts is fine. And if Smitty and AJ Brown are out, I mean, it's an obvious stacking partner with Goddard, right? So that one becomes easy.
Yeah. And then and also back. Kobe's questionable too. So,
yeah. So it's just, I guess at that point, I just question how efficient the offense can be, because they've looked kind of sluggish without, you know, AJ Brown. And then if you lose Smitty too, I just don't know how many points they're going to score in general, right? So I like Godwin and Evans as one-offs. And I do like Goddard as like a run back, but outside of that, man, that game's kind of gross. I mean, Saquon's fine. Saquon's going to get, you know, 25 to 30 carries. I don't know. I just wish if the Eagles were fully healthy, that would be my favorite game to stack. But without AJ Brown and Smitty, that game just gets gross for me. But I will say the Tampa Bay side, they've shown that they'll push the ball through the air if the other team allows them to, regardless of what the score is. So I do still like Godwin.
Kev, you're out completely.
Yeah, I just don't like the game. I mean, I don't like that game environment at all. I just don't see quite how that's going to. I just don't see how that game plays out. Like, or makes it one where you have to play, right? And so, yeah. I just don't love it. There's just plenty of other games. Like, if I wanted to get kind of gross, like, I would play Trevor Lawrence. I know that seems blasphemous with what he just did, but I would say Houston's pass defense has not been very good. Like, they've been really good at getting the quarterback and creating sacks and stuff like that. But in terms of their actual secondary has not played very well this year. And so that, like, if you wanted to get like really off the board, like Trevor Lawrence would, but I can't do it either. Like, I'm not doing it that either, just because that offense is just a train wreck right now. But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like there's better game environments that I would want to attack than that game. That game feels very much like kind of like the Saints game was last week, where it was with the Eagles. It was like, what was it? 17 to 15 or whatever it was. Like, that just kind of feels like how that game's going to play out.
No, I hear you. Yeah. Lawrence is interesting. I mean, he just hasn't shown enough to make you think that it's worth it. They could also be down a pass catcher as well too. I know Gabe Davis left that game you know, sometime in the second half with an injury against Buffalo. So I know his status has been up in question, and we could have less stacking partners with Lawrence. But yeah, interesting slate here from the quarterback position, and definitely going to be fun to build with as we get closer to Sunday. To going back to that Tampa Bay, you know, stack, the way that you get on Baker doubles as we go into running back is by playing Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley comes in this week on DraftKings at an 8K price tag. And it's just a misprice, I feel like, in my mind. He's the highest priced running back, but this guy has put up 230 burgers, albeit one of them came not on the main slate on that first game against Green Bay. But he has just absolutely looked incredible in this offense. Pieces missing it potentially in Philly. Like, I don't know how they don't give him the damn ball 25 times, 25 touches in this matchup. It just seems like such a good spot in 8K for a stud running back like this, who we've been playing time and time again. Like, it just seems ridiculous with the work that he's been getting. You know, a lot of, Kev, you kind of alluded to it both pre-show and at the top, like, a lot of running back, you know, injuries are going to open up some pieces. And for me, it's going to be, okay, which pieces can I trust the most here at running back and have the potential to put up, you know, the a 20 burger or more. Maddie, you're always talking about shooting for upside and shooting for these pieces. And we're going to have, you know, guys like Najee Harris with Jalen Warren being questionable and potentially out. Jordan Mason, yet again, is going to come into, you know, a lot of ownership. He's 6,700 now, so way different than when we were talking about him being only 5,200 in a key spot. Chuba Hubbard is going to be a guy who I feel like people go to. He's only 5,700 in a decent matchup. You know, maybe people go back to Zamir White. Cam Akers is going to be in play at 5,300, even though he kind of disappointed last week. I say all this to say, like, people are not going to be paying up in the range of Saquon Barkley or a Kyren Williams, who's 7,300 and is just coming off with three touchdown trifecta with another, you know, depleted offense surrounding him. So I like getting to these guys. I mean, Kev, you mentioned Jordan Love, but I'll play some Josh Jacobs this week. He, you know, his touches were down a little bit, but he had, you know, they had been using him a little bit in the passing game against Philly. We know that his touch workload could be good. I mean, the Wilson kid is going to be in and spelling him, but in this home matchup against, you know, against the Vikings and that, you know, that place is just always rocking. They're going to have Aaron Jones returning home, quote unquote, in that game. And he's interesting at 6,400 as well. But, you know, I want to play these running backs with high workloads who can definitely put the slate out of reach. And, you know, I don't have to kind of play a guessing game, so to speak, with them. The only other running back that I wanted to talk about, and Kev, I'll toss it to you first before Maddie, is Ramondre Stevenson. And, you know, that game is kind of gross, San Fran in New England traveling to San Fran, but they've got pieces banged up on the other side. And, you know, this was a Rams team that shouldn't have been able to keep up with them. They only had a couple ways that they could beat them, and they were able to do so despite Juwan Jennings going out and being Randy Moss. And Ramondre Stevenson is the only, like, catalyst for this offense right now. Like, as it stands, they look to get him involved any chance that they can get. Again, I talking about playing running backs that kind of have that 20 point upside. We've seen that with Ramondre already this year, but it does become a little bit tough. You definitely want him to get, you know, a couple targets if you're going to play him, but he would be a guy that I would look at as well. That could be a pivot off of like Chuba Hubbard or Jordan Mason or something like that. But Kev, talk to me about running back and what you're thinking about doing this week.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I mean, obviously I don't have to talk about Saquon. I mean, Saquon's been just, he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been the best running back in the league. Just continues, and he's bucked a lot of trends that people were concerned with him. Like, not, I mean, he's played 84% of the snaps, but he's also leads his team in goal line carries. He has more than Jalen Hurts does. I think that was a lot big concern heading into this year, what was going to happen to him, and that just hasn't been the case. I would like to see him being more involved with the pass catcher. He only has an 11% target share, but other than that, like, he has just absolutely crushed every single week. But past that, you know, you already mentioned Kyren Williams. He's just been the bell cow, just like he was last year, handling 86% of the snaps, 78% of the rush attempts. Now, he's not really been that heavily involved. He was more involved last week as a pass catcher, but he still only has a 9% target share, but he's running 67% of the routes. Now, he's been truly, truly inefficient as a runner. He ranks 53rd out of 53 qualifying running backs in missed tackles forced per attempt and 45th in yards after contact per attempt, with a 3.04 yards per carry, but his five touchdowns have basically carried him. He also really, you know, hasn't been great. You know, like I said, as a pass catcher, that's one thing that there is a little bit of concern there. But I will say the Bears defense has struggled to stop the run this year, as they've allowed the 14th most rushing yards, but the third most rushing touchdowns and the eighth most DK points to the position. So this is a good spot for Kyren, and kind of a little, I don't think it's a great game environment, but one that maybe could surprise people. You mentioned the Green Bay game. I'm absolutely pushing my chips all in on Aaron Jones this week.
Love that.
Not just a revenge game, but Aaron Jones has actually been just phenomenal. He's currently handling 53% of the rush attempts, which doesn't really surprise me. That's what he's always done. But seeing a 19% target share, he's also has a he's ranking 11th in missed tackles forced per attempt and second in yards after contact per attempt. The Packers have now allowed the 11th most DK points to the position. They've also allowed the 12th most receptions and the 5th most receiving yards on the season so far, as well as a 5.0 yards per carry average. So Aaron Jones, I am absolutely in love with. I'm going to have a ton of him. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. No shot I'll play him. He's been absolutely fucking dreadful so far to start this year. And he's not catching any passes. He is running about 40% of the routes, but that's not great either. But he's only seeing a 5% target share right now. He's also handling – well, he's only handling 63% of the snaps, only 55% of the rush attempts, which is a problem because he's not really a workhorse, right? Like, years prior to when he played for the Raiders, like, that's what it – like, he was an absolute workhorse. He was seeing 70%, 80% opportunities. He's not seeing that anymore with this team. It's going back to what LaFleur has always done and limited their running backs. And so Josh Jacobs, for me, just I'm out. Like, he's been awful. He hasn't been good. He hasn't even posted a top 20 finish so far this year. And so he's currently, just like in season long, he's currently the RB 30, but he just hasn't been good. And so I'm not really all that excited to play him. And not to mention the fact that the Vikings have allowed the 4th fewest DK points in position. Like, they have been elite against the run. So for me, like, I just want no part of Josh Jacobs whatsoever. I would much rather just go to Aaron Jones in that game. James Conner is a great play as well against the Commanders. Last week was obviously not very good, but that was facing the Lions. The Lions' run defense is excellent, but the Commanders have allowed the 12th most rushing yards, the 13th most touchdowns, but the 6th most receptions, the 7th most receiving yards to running backs, and the 14th most DK points. So I do think James Conner is in play. Brian Robinson on the other side of the ball, really love that spot for him as well. He has been really good. Not to mention Austin Eckler's already been ruled out for this week. And so that is going to make him kind of an absolute bell cow. And honestly, Brian Robinson quietly just putting together another really solid season. He's top 20 in missed tackles force per attempt, 12th in yards after contact per attempt. And the Commanders have yielded the 7th most rushing yards, the 11th most receiving yards, and the 10th most DK points to the position. And like I said, with Austin Eckler out, that just really opens the door for him. Now, the only other running back they have right now is Jeremy McNichols, who checked in a little bit once Austin Eckler went out last week. So I definitely think you could look there as well as another option. And then I totally agree. Chuba Hubbard is another option as well. I mean, he exploded last week, 21 carries, 5 catches, 169 yards, and a touchdown last week. He also has seen 10 targets the last 2 games. And the Bengals just continue to be a team that really struggles to stop the run, allowing the 9th most rushing yards and the 5th most rushing touchdowns so far this season. So I do think Chuba is also in play.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Chuba will definitely be popular. But, yeah, if Deontay Johnson is going to be out for the Panthers, who popped up on the injury report, like, the pieces are just going to fall into place for Chuba to get a ton of work. Maddie, what say you at the running back position, man? What are you looking at to do this week?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I like that 6K range a lot. Aaron Jones, Kev, I'm glad you're all in on him because I am as well. I think he's going to absolutely smash Green Bay. The workload's unreal. The talent's still there. And Ryan, I know you love the return or revenge narrative, whatever you want to call it, back home to Green Bay.
All of them, yep.
Aaron Jones is definitely a priority for me. Outside of him, Zach Moss is a great play. You know, at Carolina, he's involved in the pass game. He's their goal line back. If you're not playing Jamar and Burrow, the Bengals are going to score points. They're 0-3. They're going to look to, you know, come out firing and put up a giant number here on the scoreboard. So I do like Zach Moss. Najee Harris is an obvious click if Jalen Warren's out. I mean, he's got pass game usage as it is. 9 targets through 3 games. And if Jalen Warren's out, he's already their goal line back. So Najee's a great play. And totally agree on the Brian Robinson call. Assuming Eckler's out, even with Eckler in, you know, Robinson's been handling a large workload. He's only 6,100 against Arizona. So those are the 4 guys I like a lot in that 6K-ish range. You can obviously play Kyren. He's got 3 touchdown upside every single game. And we saw that last week against San Francisco. He can get it in the end zone against anybody. So I'm cool with the pay-up options, but I think I'm going to hover in that 6K range.
Yeah, Ryan, I did want to ask you, since you're closer to the ground, Roschon Johnson is $4,100. Like, and all the beat reports, all the talk this week has been that they are going to give him an extended look this week, that I mean, we can't blame him because fucking DeAndre Swift is fucking awful. Like 13 carries, 20 yards. It's not even that. It's like for the tape bros out there. Like there's been some like cut ups of him, like just literally has a wide open running lane and then he runs right in the fucking back of DJ Moore. Like DJ Moore is setting a block for him. There is like 8 feet, there's like 8 yards and 8 yards on either side he can pick to go. And he runs right in the motherfucking back of DJ Moore. Like, what were you doing there? But so he's terrible. But Roschon Johnson at $4,100, though, like if he's going to be the lead back, and it sounds like that's what they're trending towards. I mean, he definitely looked like the best running back they had last week. 8 carries for 30 yards. Also saw 5 targets last week, 32 yards. So at $4,100, I mean, yeah, I think he could be kind of a key to the slate here if that's the way this thing pans out.
Yeah, he's an interesting piece. I do feel like they'll give him more touches. It is just one of those scenarios where, you know, I feel like it's a GPP play. Like it's hard to play him in, you know, kind of single entry or tournaments of that nature, because with Herbert and Swift still being around, I do feel like it won't be just Roschon out there with the ones to start the game. It'll be, you know, can Swift even get going? Nope, he doesn't get going. It's an earlier plug than what we saw against the Colts. But yeah, Roschon is definitely going to be worked in, and I think it's going to be something to monitor going forward. And if especially if he's able to put up this week, like that'll be the guy going forward. The team seems to really, you know, the players, they seem to all like him. And if he can be out there and be, you know, it's going to be pass protection for him. If he can pass protect and, you know, be a guy that Caleb can rely on, then I think that he'll definitely start to see the field a little bit more, because that was his issue last year. But yeah, 4,100 is definitely an intriguing price tag in large field GPPs for that guy. Kev, what KC situation real quick before we go on to wide receivers, like is Carson Steele gonna get that backfield, or is Piron gonna be, you know, able to spell him, and Kareem Hunt gonna get going and that kind of puts it to rest?
Well, I mean, he did last week, right? So he handled 64% of the snaps, 51% of the rush champs, and 42% of the routes. And but you compare that to Piron, who only played 36% of the routes and 18% of the rush attempts. So I don't think Kareem Hunt's going to come in and just like he's going to be the RB1. I don't see that happening at all. Like, I have maintained that I think Kareem Hunt is a bigger threat to Samaje Perine. People around here, that like the beats and stuff around Kansas City, have said Samaje Perine has looked awful and has not played well. And I would tend to agree. Like, Samaje Perine has really done nothing for this team. Like, I think he's a.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Much quicker. Kareem Hunt's a much bigger threat to Samaje Perine than he is to Carson Steele. They have continually talked about how much they trust Carson Steele, and I think it kind of showed last week. And this is very much a game script where they should be in control of, barring something crazy happening. So if that's the case, I do think Carson Steele is $5,500. He's not like a bad option. I just think there's some other running backs that I probably would prioritize over him, but he's not like he's not a bad play, but I don't know what kind of how much ceiling he has.
Yeah. Fair enough. I just like that kid, and want to see him get his chance to perform without Pacheco being out there. But yeah, let's move on to wide receiver and kind of talk about this, because you know, for me with wide receiver, you know, like Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's just been, you know, like, talk about a guy who's just been happy with the quarterback position. I mean, JJ McCarthy goes down and Kirk Cousins isn't there anymore, but enter Sam Darnold, who just is able to force feed Justin Jefferson the ball whenever he wants it. And he's been loving life. So he's definitely always in play as a one-off for me. Honestly, Rashee Rice, like, you know, talked to Maddie about this extensively, about the single game slate and how I didn't have enough Rashee Rice and was absolutely kicking myself. Like, he looks like an absolute, you know, just stud, and probably mispriced at 7,300 this week, the way that Patrick Mahomes has been feeding him. Now, will they need to feed him necessarily in this Chargers matchup? Probably not, but you know, he's a guy who I always have interest in as a one-off going forward because of his role in this offense. We don't have other guys that I would be willing to play without their quarterback. So for me, it becomes strictly about who's my quarterback and who am I stacking them with to be able to play with wide receivers. Like, I will have interest in Joe Burrow, I feel like. So Ja'Marr Chase is definitely going to be coming with me along for that ride. If I'm playing Kyler Murray, no way that I'm not playing him with Marvin Harrison. If he's healthy, 7,500, he should be able to break out. He's been seeing what Malik Nabers has been doing and absolutely crushing as a pick who went after him. So he definitely, I feel like, wants to shine and will have an ample opportunity to do so if he's out there against this Washington defense. Nico Collins, I mean, if this guy is out there, he's 7,200, and the lion's share work that he is seeing in this offense is absolutely incredible. Absolutely love being able to pair him with CJ Stroud this week and get things going. Again, Kev, you talked about it. It literally looks like a bloodbath when you scroll down at wide receiver, because there's so much red with all the Q tags for these players who are up there. So for the high price guys, yeah, definitely want to pair them. Will be interesting to see, you know, if Stephon Diggs gets some love, if Tank Dell's expected to miss. I know he's popped up on the injury report. I talked about my Baker, you know, double. So I'm interested in both Evans and Godwin, who are only, like, Evans is only 7K and Godwin 68. Like, you could definitely make some stuff work with that, as we talked about some running back pieces that opened up. Kev, you know, Jaden Reed, as we get down to it, with him only being 6K, if Jordan Love is out there, like, we saw what they wanted to do in week one against Philly to get this guy involved. And he's, you know, being that Swiss Army knife, kind of like Deebo Samuel, I feel like he will definitely be getting work. Terry McLaurin's definitely going to be in play for people who play Jaden Daniels this week. So that becomes interesting. And then, you know, we get down into this 5K range where it always becomes interesting for us to talk about this week. Roma Dunze at 5,200, Caleb Stacks. He's in the Caleb circle of trust. And even with Keenan Allen being back, I feel like that just opens things up so much for Rome and DJ Moore as well, too. DJ Moore and Rome, both guys that I'd be interested in pairing with Caleb Williams, as I talked about. Deontay Johnson, who has a Q tag, but if he plays, he's only 5,600. This will likely be the cheapest that we see Deontay all year, with the way that he was utilized in that role, with being Dalton's number one and Adam Thielen being on IR and expected to miss some time. There are going to be some 4K pieces that open up, I expect, for Carolina with the injuries that are going on there. You know, will people play Quentin Johnson if Herbert's out there? Probably not if he's not out there, but all he does is catch touchdowns now, apparently. There are some other cheap options on the LA Rams side yet again. And just have fun choosing who it's going to be between DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittington, Matt Stafford just moving the ball around so much to be able to figure out which guy it's going to be. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I, and again, it's more so than ever of just what game environment am I playing and who's that quarterback. And I'm just looking to stack and potentially overstack. Like, I'm at the point now where I want to play two or more pass catchers at minimum with these guys, because the game environment that's been hitting has just produced so much fantasy goodness in that one environment with others disappointing, that I just want to capture all the points. So I do like getting, you know, doubles and instead of the singles and minis to try and get multiple game environments as we had normally done. But there's just not enough that sticks up on this page. And Maddie, before I toss it to you, I just did want to bring up Rashid Shaheed, because I will be going back to the well with him at 5,500. He had five opportunities last week, just wasn't able to come come down with one, but definitely had, you know, an end zone target just went through his hands. So I'd be willing to go back to the well with him because he looks to be the guy. Maddie, what say you at the wide receiver position this week?
Yeah, as you were talking through it, man, I think receiver is actually pretty gross. The more I look at it, I mean, it's definitely a three running back week for me. I mean, there was seven or eight different running backs that I liked, and I'm struggling to find seven or eight different receivers that I'm confident in. And it's like each set of receivers that I like, they come from the same team. So like, I love Nico and Diggs, assuming Tank Dell doesn't play. And I'll play both of them together, even if I don't play Stroud on the team, because I mean, Stroud can get there, you know, through just two guys or the two guys, you know, the two pass catchers can get there by themselves without, you know, Stroud nuking. But that offense is just going to be so condensed without Tank Dell, if assuming he doesn't play. You know, Mixon's already banged up and he's probably not playing. You know, it's likely another Cam Akers week. So I love Nico. I love Tank Dell. Same with the Bears, assuming that the Bears, Keenan Allen, whether he plays or not, I love Rome, and DJ Moore. I don't think we're going to see Keenan Allen playing every snap, you know, with the injuries that he's been dealing with. And, it's a good matchup for them against the Rams. I mean, the Rams are arguably the worst defense in the NFL up there with the Commanders. So I really like Chicago at home. Both Rome and DJ Moore are affordable. They're heavily utilized in the offense. Good yards after catch guys, the Rams can't really tackle. So I like both of those offenses. That's being the Bears and the Texans. Outside of that, I mean, the one-offs, you talked about Jaden Reed. I definitely like him. He's an interesting run back to Aaron Jones on the other side. Marvin Harrison, if you're playing Kyler, he's probably the guy that I would play him with, probably be him or McBride. We're not to tight end yet. Christian Kirk, it would maybe be my run back to the Houston guys if you want to game stack that. We finally saw him see double-digit targets, but Kirk just hasn't really ever shown a ceiling, and the Jaguars have looked awful this year, so I'm not sure I really want to do that. But if that offense does get going, it's likely because of Kirk. And to Kev's point, you know, I mean, the Houston defense hasn't been, you know, great this year. We saw Sam Darnold hang four tutties on him last week, so right. Kirk is definitely interesting. I mean, he's the low 5K, 5,200 for a guy that could see 12 targets. I mean, it's definitely interesting on a full PPR site. So there's interesting spots. I mean, I'm out on Jamar Chase after his blow up game last week. I was on him last week. I'm out in this spot. I think it's more of a Zach Moss or, you know, T Higgins or some of these other guys get involved. I mean, it's just not a lot to like at the receiver position for me. And I'm really concentrated on, especially the Texans. Texans are a big piece for me this week.
Yeah. Texans look awesome. And it's just a matter of, you know, hopefully Jacksonville can, you know, keep pace. I mean, they're, you know, Houston is not the same type of team necessarily as Buffalo that, you know, Buffalo used to be able to push the pace, and they tried their damnedest to do that on Monday night. It just got so far out of reach that we saw Mitchell Trubisky come in and they didn't need to do it anymore. So it'll be curious to see how that game plays out, because you definitely want CJ Stroud to have to throw to be able to play those guys as opposed to Cam Akers getting all the run there. But yeah, I think Kirk is an interesting bring back again with Gabe Davis potentially, you know, being banged up and not being able to play. It'll be him and Brian Thomas, but Kirk definitely looks like the guy there in that offense to be able to play him with. Kev, what are you doing at the wide receiver position? Is it just as gross to you as it was to Maddie?
It's definitely not great. I mean, but I definitely think there's some spots to exploit. You know, you mentioned it with Houston. Nico Collins is just in an absolute smash spot. Both of the Jaguars corners have been absolutely abused so far this year. They're both terrible. And whether he plays on the outside or he plays in the slot, it doesn't really matter. Exploitable matchups, especially with Tank Dell out. It probably just opens up more targets for him. I think Diggs is also in play. So, I mean, both of these guys are definitely – you know, players that I would be looking to target. If Trey McBride's going to be out, I think that just opens more targets for Marvin Harrison Jr. We know Washington secondary is dreadful as well. So I definitely think if you're wanting to pay up at wide receiver, like those are the spots that I would be looking at. And then past that, like, I think some other options that we could be looking at, I think Darnell Mooney is just great play. $4,200. I don't know why he's so cheap. He's kind of been the kind of the safety net for Kirk Cousins so far. And for the last two games, I mean, he's put up really solid production. I just don't think he should be that cheap. He plays 100% of the routes. So he's going to be out there every single play. So like a Darnell Mooney, you know, Rashid Shaheed kind of mini stack is something that I have quite a bit of interest in. I think Shaheed bounces back. You know, honestly, Derek Carr missed him twice. Like he had two opportunities to catch long touchdowns last week and Derek Carr missed him on both. But Derek Carr has done a pretty good job this year on connecting on the deep ball. So I do think somebody like, you know, Shaheed at $5,500, he's in play, probably leverage off of what Deontay Johnson will be there in that game. Because I do think a lot of people are going to want to go back to that well there for, on him. Terry McLaurin, $5,800. They finally got him going last week, you know, on Monday. So I think McLaurin is in play. You know, Jaden Reed, I've already talked about. Christian Watson with Jordan Love. He just kind of, you know, raises everybody's ceiling, quite a bit. And so I do think Christian Watson's 5K and then, you know, Jaden Reed. So it's just those guys are just too cheap, I think, for the upside that they bring within this offense. So, you know, I think you look there, you know, I like cheaper options. Like there's not a lot that like once you get past the Darnell Mooney play. I do think Michael Wilson, again, you know, he sees a pretty healthy target share or at least amount of targets. You know, last week he actually saw 9 targets, 8 catches, 64 yards. So Michael Wilson, I think you could look there as well at $4,200 if you wanted to get a little bit different in that same game. And so I think that's another spot you could look at if you're wanting to pay down at wide receiver. Because I think that's what I'm probably going to lean towards more towards is paying more towards the middle tier or the lower tier for wide receiver. I don't think you have to pay all the way up. You know, Rashee Rice has been wild. Like that dude has just been absolutely peppered with targets so far. And a lot of it, it's basically – he's basically playing the Travis Kelce role now. Like he's eating up all the underneath coverage. They're leading him. They're getting the ball in his hands in space. But he's also – it's been interesting with him. His last year, like his average depth of target was actually really low. Everything was, you know, pretty close to the line of scrimmage the way they were getting the ball in his hands. Like that's kind of changed so far this year, the way they've really utilized him. And so I think you could look at Rashee Rice. I mean, he's still $7,200. To me, he should be more expensive than that. He should probably be in the 8K range as well as he's played so far. But I just don't love this game environment. So that's why, like, normally, like, I'm all about the Chiefs, and I'm sure I'll have a Patrick Mahomes stack just because that's, you know, I'm a homer. So I can't just not have a Chiefs stack. But, like, it doesn't stand out to me as a game like, oh, man, I definitely want to play Patrick Mahomes in this game. Because it just doesn't have that kind of game environment, I think, that's really going to be able to push them to have to really throw the ball a ton. So I don't necessarily love that. Maybe you could look at Amari Cooper, had a bounce back game last week, 7 catches from 12 targets, 86 yards and 2 scores last week for Amari Cooper. I guess you could look there if you wanted to. But, you know, and other than that, maybe T. Higgins, right? T. Higgins should have had a bigger game than what he did. He had a touchdown that he didn't convert on. But, you know, I think other than that, like that's kind of where I stand at wide receiver. You're muted.
Rookie mistake. Yeah, as soon as you said Amari Cooper, Kev, I just got giddy. I just wanted to chime back in because he's playing against his old team, the Raiders. And, you know, that always appeals to me. But there's one thing I don't do, and that's play Amari Cooper the week after he pops off. Because I just feel like, you know, he just doesn't put up those back-to-back numbers all too much. So that's going to be a tough one for me to get to. But yeah, I mean, a wide receiver is, you know, you're going to have to monitor the injury reports. We will get some stuff that comes to fruition on Friday and Saturday. But there's some potential game time decisions that we're going to have to wait till the 10:30 inactives on 10:30 Central Time, 11:30 Eastern Time inactive reports come out on Sunday to be able to kind of get these builds fit. But yeah, for me, it just comes down to, you know, what quarterback am I going to have and how can I stack them up, you know, accordingly to kind of get all of the goodness surrounded them. And Cap Mooney, that is ridiculous. Like I thought you like misspoke when you said 4,200 for his price tag. I was like, there's no way this guy is cheaper than Alec Pierce. There's no way that this guy is cheaper than freaking Tyler Johnson. Like what are we doing here? 15 targets in the past two games. Like this guy definitely has a role. He shouldn't be priced right above Ray McLeod. Like, what are we doing with 600? It just makes no sense. So yeah, Mooney is definitely one that I'm gonna have to circle and come back to as the slate progresses through the week into the weekend. Tight end, fellas, another one of a dumpster fire positions that has just been talked about extensively in the fantasy landscape. The tight ends that we rely on to provide production are not providing production, and the cheap tight ends that we go to are not paying off in the rate that we would want them to, which just kind of leaves a dead position. And you can kind of avoid that maybe in some of your, you know, redraft fantasy leagues, but you can't avoid it in DFS. You got to play one. So what are you guys thinking about doing this week at the tight end position? I mean, Brock Bowers, 5,600, Travis Kelce, 5,800. Like, I had to do a double take when I looked at that price tag, couldn't believe it. But, you know, Kevin talked about it. Like, Rashee Rice is basically taking his role. Hell, he's taking the Kelce role and the Tyreek Hill role when he was there. It just combined it into one. But that is just, it just is mind boggling to see a price tag like that around Travis Kelce's name, Trey McBride in concussion protocol. So for me, it goes to Brock Bowers, disappointed as the cash tight end last week, but he's, you know, the target share is immense. George Kittle, if he's able to play, he's 5,500. Like, he's going to be a lone stand for me. Like, if he's going to go out there with no McCaffrey, with, you know, Ayuk still getting his feet back and no Deebo Samuel, like, come on down, George Kittle, and bring the tight end position back to life, because they need you. We got some injuries at the tight end position. The strange kid for Jacksonville, I could see catching some steam and love if Ingram's not able to go. Cole Kmet, you like to see him get back in the offense. Keenan Allen's going to be back, so I'm not sure what that does to his ownership. Got some interest in Freiermuth and Conklin as guys who are under the 4K range. And then going back up before I toss it to you again, Maddie, you know, Dallas Goddard's 5,100. And with those guys questionable or potentially being out as AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Britton Covey, he will be popular yet again against this Tampa Bay team. Now, the thing about playing Dallas Goedert after he just goes out and, you know, goes bananas for 170 yards on 10 or whatever catches, this guy's only done, like, you can't have one hand with his 100-yard games that he's had in his career. Like, it just doesn't happen. And then when I was looking at, you know, how many times that's happened back-to-back, it's only happened once where he went out, went bananas, and then was able to do, you know, another 100-yard game. Most of the times he's put up, or the only other times he's put up 100, he's coming back down to earth now 40. Now, again, like, we know Dallas Goedert can ball. Like, he's a dude. But at 5K, and, you know, with him to be out there now, there might not be anybody else. There literally might not be anybody else for him to throw to. So I get why people would want to gravitate towards him. But I still am going to go the route of, you know, pairing my tight end with my quarterback. Maybe it's somebody cheap. And if I am going to play a one-off, I do think it's going to be Bowers or Kittle for me. But Maddie, what are you doing at the tight end position this week?
Yeah, well, let me sell you on somebody that you can pair with a quarterback that I didn't realize McBride is likely not going to play. So that opens up Elijah Higgins at $3,100 yeah, that you can pair with Kyler Murray. And we know Kyler Murray loves the tight end position. I mean, Ertz was a thing for a while. You know, tight ends before that. McBride's obviously been a beast. That's not to take anything away from McBride, because McBride's actually good. So, you know, part of that is McBride. But, I mean, this is the Commanders defense we're talking about, right? I expect Arizona to score a bunch. And, you know, a $3,100 tight end that's tied to my quarterback when there's not really tight ends that have been good this year, sign me up for that. So Higgins would be my preferred option, especially if playing Kyler. And then the thing with Goddard, I agree with you 100%. I mean, there's just nobody else left to catch passes there. And he's struggled to put up points or fantasy points when they've been fully healthy, because this is really the first time we've seen them without Smitty and Brown, you know, since those guys have been on the team together. I mean, Brown's first missed game his whole time in Philly was last week. And that was, you know, the game, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, you know, Smitty had a big game, and then last week was the Goddard game. So yeah, I think he's been out for 2 weeks now. So, you know, there's, again, I just go back to when these stud players miss time, it just really puts a damper on the offense as a whole, and they just score less points in general. So I could see the Eagles coming out. I mean, they struggled to score against the Saints last week with Smitty. You know, I could see them struggling to score against Tampa Bay, but I do think that Goddard will be their first option in the pass game. But you legit could see them run the ball 45 times between Saquon and Hurts. So I just think that's a gross game. And if Goddard's going to end up chalky at 5.1K, I'll gladly play Higgins at 3.1K and pair him with Kyler.
Yeah, Kev,
go ahead, Kev.
If people aren't familiar with Elijah Higgins, I mean, Elijah Higgins is a super athletic tight end. I mean, he ran a 4.5 40, which is 98th percentile, and also has 84th percentile burst. And so, like, he is a very athletic tight end, 6'3", 235 pounds, was a sixth round pick in 2023. So, I do think there's some juice there to that play. He was giving me something that I was going to bring up. But yeah, $3,100 makes it kind of easy to get to. I think also if you're wanting a different tight end as well, Tucker Kraft at 3K again, just kind of riding the Packers train here. Jordan Love's able to go. Mike Gesicki is $3,500. He's actually seeing a 31% target per route run rate, but he's only running 49% of the routes. But you know, I know Maddie, you love Mark Cherry yards, and he is top six in market share of air yards on the season with a 18% target share. And then Zach Ertz, old man Zach Ertz, leads the league in air yard share through three games. So, yeah, 24% air yard share for him, 17% target share as well. So that same game, I think you can look at both of those guys as options at tight end. I just don't really want to pay up for any of the high-priced tight ends, honestly. I just don't think there's anybody that's worth it to pay for up top. I mean, Brock Bowers, I guess, would be the only one. But, you know, Trey McBride, I mean, I'm not paying for Travis Kelce at $5,800. I've already talked about that. But I do think at some point a blow-up game's coming for Travis Kelce. And I guess we know that Travis Kelce always goes off against the Chargers. So, I don't know. Maybe this is the one where we're going to look back and wish we would have played him. But I don't think you need to. I think I just play like – I mean, Zach Ertz is fine at 4K. And then, you know, Gesicki at $3,500. And then, you know, the Elijah Higgins at $3,100, I think, are all in play. You good?
Yeah. Oh, I'm good. Yeah, you just started talking. So, you know, I did my usual back in the day. Just leave when. Yeah, no, we're all good. We're all good. Yeah, tight end is... That is gross, but yeah, I appreciate you highlighting Elijah Higgins, the both of you guys, because yeah, I could see him definitely getting some steam and getting popular. You know, that's the funny thing. The highest priced tight end goes out with an injury, and then you come in to one of the cheaper tight ends that can, you know, just get a massive workload there. Kev, I am with you, though. You talk about Travis Kelce, and you know, nobody's going to be able to trust this guy, and he's only $5,800. And the state of the tight end position has just been so gross that if you're able to get a build that like has him in it, like, would you not feel comfortable with him? Like if all the other tight ends go out and they're kind of just, you know, getting around 7 to 8, you know, no more than 10 points and not really seeing scoring from the position. And then you still have Travis Kelce going in that late afternoon slate, I believe. Yeah, the 3:25 start time. So like you could be sitting, you know, pretty seeing that PMR still there if you're able to fit him. He's only $700 more than Dallas Goedert. You know, that it's an interesting piece because he could, you know, he definitely has the capability still, even though we've seen it slow. So, you know, we talk about not overreacting and things of that nature. Like he can still get it done, and it might be enough this week if things shape his way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like again, if you you know, look at the film, he's actually almost every single play he goes out. Like there's two or three players that are or two or three defenders that are just targeting him and going right after him, and so. It felt like the Chiefs have just been like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're just going to eat you alive with Rashee Rice. Kind of been what's happened. But another note for that game, though, is Derwin James was suspended for that game. So they're not going to have him. And so that is a big problem because that is somebody they use. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. Like, if you want to go there, I just, like I said, I guess I just don't really necessarily love this game environment. So I'm not over the moon. But as a one-off piece, yes, I mean, I think you could look together because – there's not really anything exciting at tight end this week. I mean, there's nothing that, like, just stands out like, oh, man, I have to play this guy. Like, George Kittle, I guess, could be, especially with Debo still out. It does sound like Kittle's going to be back this week. He was a limited participant today. So I guess him. But again, nobody's just like, oh man, this is a smash play. I have to play this guy in all my lineups.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it would definitely, you know, if Herbert is somehow able to go with this ankle injury, and I know, you know, he's been limited, but they're doing everything they can to get him to play, try to come into that game and still play on it, but it just wasn't working out for him. But if Herbert's on the other side, you know, to kind of keep things going there, that definitely will boost my interest in getting to some Kelce piece there at the tight end position, because it's just been so gross. Let's talk about defense, fellas, as we, you know, start to wrap it up and get to the build. Shout out to the DGen Nation family who's been rocking with us. DGen Nation Pod, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Love to bring you guys the fantasy DFS goodness every week. And as we talk about defenses here before we build this lineup, seems pretty straightforward. Like you want to, you know, we talk about it. Like, we either pay down for defense, you're paying up for defense. You want to make sure they're getting sacks, they're getting points, they're opportunistic, and going against, you know, teams who are going to be aggressive. And, you know, we're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers for me, like coming in at 3,300, like Highsmith is potentially going to be out for them, which I think is a definite blow. But the way this Indy team has been playing, like, they get to go to a home dome environment, like TJ Watt's still on the other side. The rest of that defense has been playing stellar. 3,300 is just too cheap for a defense of their caliber. I know, you know, we kind of talked pre-show about a couple defenses to pay up for, but that's what I'm starting with. The other defense that, you know, has really caught my eye, and it feels a little bit point chasey, but they've been pretty good, is the Green Bay Packers. And they do get this home matchup against the Vikings, who are 3-0. You know, they have some pieces on those side in Jefferson and Jones, but we'll really get to see like what Sam Darnold's about, and is he, you know, ready to for sure take that next step on a team that could potentially be 4-0, because he has to go into this Lambeau environment. And the way this defense has been playing since they switched up to DCs in Green Bay, like, this team has been going, and they definitely have some pieces. A secondary on the other side is legit. And can definitely give some fit. So at 3K, I do have some interest for them. And then we're talking about cheap defenses. If we're scrolling down, like, I mean, you know, the Patriots catch my eye because they're only 2,400 going against a banged up San Francisco team. But for me, you know, it probably doesn't get any cheaper for the Packers as of right now. I just don't see any of these other teams, you know, kind of getting the sacks and getting the pressure that I would want. But maybe you guys are seeing it differently. Kev, what are you doing at defense?
I'm okay with living in kind of the low 3K range, because I think there's like three defenses that stand out. I think the Bears, who are $3,100, their defense has actually been really good this year. They're top five in pressure rate on the season. They have produced seven sacks, six turnovers, and they have a defensive score. But right now, I mean, if you look at the Rams, I mean, they have really struggled. Obviously, they're not going to have any of their weapons outside of Kyren. But Stafford has been sacked on 9% of his dropbacks and ranks top seven in sacks so far this year. So I do think Chicago is in play. You know, Houston, like I kind of mentioned. But the one thing that they've done a really good job at, they have the fourth most sacks with 13 through the first three games. And they also have a top 12 in pressure rate as well. Conversely, the Jags offensive line has just been absolutely dreadful and has been under fire all year. Trevor Lawrence has been sacked at the fourth highest rate in the league. And so the Texans, I think, are in play. And lastly, the Saints. Like, everybody talked about the first 2 weeks of how good, you know, the Saints offense was, but nobody's really been talking about and giving the flowers to the Saints defense, who have yet to allow 20 points in a game. They've also 2.5 turnovers per game and 3.5 sacks per game for them. And then if you look at Atlanta's offensive line is extremely banged up. They just lost two more offensive linemen, most notably Drew Dahlman, who suffered a high ankle sprain. So this offensive line is falling apart quickly. And so they've actually allowed almost four sacks per game so far. So I do think the Saints are also another option at their cost. So I think those three are kind of the three that I'm looking at.
Love it. Maddie, what say you?
Yeah, I'm good with any of those. I like the Patriots and the Packers myself. So I'm with you, Ryan, on those. Pats are 20 min price essentially for this year. I don't think anybody's been less than 2,400 yet, but they're 2,400 against a banged up San Francisco team without any weapons. And they can utilize Christian Gonzalez to kind of shut down, you know, Ayuk on the outside. So that defense is definitely one I believe is the most talented of that cheaper set of options. I mean, I'd rather play them over Carolina any day. So them, and then, yeah, Green Bay at home, Minnesota coming into Green Bay outside of that dome. I definitely like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Pretty straightforward, and definitely want to make sure we're watching injury reports there. But yeah, defense is a fun one, and you know, you get a touchdown or something crazy from your defense, and it price is out the window. That's basically what we want is the defense scoring a touchdown, fellas. What we doing this week with our lineup? We're gonna put in the Millie 4 weeks in a row. We need to get something going here in the Millie lineup. So we're gonna build this team out for the DJ Nation fam. Share it with them. Definitely, you know, an hour in, and I haven't even plugged the Discord yet. Kev's gonna have me. So Kev's gonna have my ass. Discord link in the description. We got to get you guys in the Discord chatting it up. Love chatting about lineup builds and things that are coming to fruition and getting your questions answered in there. So make sure you get into the Discord. Absolutely free. Nothing you have to do except go to that link in description. And while you're at the link in description, make sure you are giving us a like, subscribing to the channel, and checking out everything else on the podcast channel that the Fantasy Authority has to offer. Fellas, what do you say about this Millie lineup? Let's get it built out on with the state of the slate. Where are we starting with? Kev, you want to kick it off this week? Kick it off this week.
All right, Saquon Barkley.
Let's go.
Actually, don't change that. Aaron Jones. Okay. Sorry. Aaron Jones. Sorry.
Let's go Najee. I'll assume Warren's out.
All right, let's get Najee in there. 5,600. Let's go Jaden Reed as the bring back there, or a little mini stack with Aaron Jones.
Nico.
7,200 for Nico. Still got just under 5K for position left.
Higgins, Elijah.
Figured that's what you meant, but I appreciate the clarification there.
Not key.
Opens up some salary for us. Let's see what we can do if we put in CJ Stroud with Nico at 7K.
Ooh. There's a path to take this, Kev. I know you see it.
I'm gonna go Christian Kirk.
Yep, that's okay. You saw it. I want Diggs.
All right, Diggs in the flat. Are these all 1 p.m. games, actually? Now I'm thinking about it. Might not even matter for flex, yeah. And then 2,900 for D. Do we play Vikings, D?
I mean, it is nice correlation with Aaron Jones.
I'm good with that. They blitz a lot.
Yeah, see if they can get some pressure. I mean, if we don't, yeah. So, yeah, we can potentially, you know, we'll keep Jaden Reed in there. Maybe change it up if it's Willis over Love, but Reed's been so involved. Like maybe he gets, you know, a couple more handoffs out of the backfield and can do some things. He's just been such a good piece. But yeah, even makes more sense with our Vikings defense there if potentially Love's not out, but we can just have that Jaden Reed piece do some things. For those at home, if you want to hear it back again, CJ Stroud, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Jaden Reed, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Elijah Higgins, Stephon Diggs in the flex with the Vikings defense that uses all of the salary. And we are going to put that into the Millie this week. Only two questionable tags on our Millie lineup, fellas. So I think we're doing something right there. We don't have to avoid too many landmines. Any final words from the fellas before we sign off for the people on this week 4 podcast?
No final words for me. Hopefully it's a healthy Sunday. No more big injuries.
Yeah.
No more big injuries. I love that. But it's the NFL, Maddie. So, you know, can't wait to see who gets injured.
Yeah. Neighbors already had a concussion tonight, it looked like. And Micah Parsons got rolled up on, and DeMarcus Lawrence was having to tape up his arch of his foot. A lot of injuries tonight on Thursday, but hopefully it doesn't trickle over into Sunday.
Well, less preseason and more regular season games. That's and right. that won't add to the injury narrative. No, hopefully everybody can stay safe and we have a clean slate of football for week four, and we can talk about some more goodness on week five with you guys. But signing off for the week four DFS podcast of the DGen Nation, powered by the Fantasy Authority, I'm Ryan Williams. Find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. Find Maddie D at Maddie DFS on Twitter and X, and Kevin Steele, the Godfather himself, Fantasy Wrath 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. We hope you guys have fun out there. We hope you guys get that money, and we'll see you guys next time in the streets. Like the podcast, download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, hit the link in the description for Discord, and always get this money. We'll see you guys next time. Till then, peace. You know who you're talking to. When you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, it measures in ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.